fighting for America.
As long as they kill us and go to Wendy's and have a burger and go to sleep, they're going to keep killing us. But when we die and they die, we'll tear this goddamn country up.
Fighting for Idaho.
The lessons are really basic. Don't rob a convenience store. Don't fight a policeman when he stops you and try to take his gun. And when he yells at you to stop with his gun drawn, just stop.
Fighting for you.
Don't close your eyes. Focus, focus, focus.
Boise's Mr. Right.
You're the best, man.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, thank you for joining us here at 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436. Remember, you can reach us anytime at 580KIDO on Twitter, of course, Facebook, all those great things. Coming up, your chance to win tickets to the Sound of Music. We're joined by Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso with the very latest on the Ferguson fallout, the Ferguson Commission. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, how are you, man? Hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
You know, you ruined my weekend with your Packers beating my Patriots.
Well, you know, I don't know what to say about that, but if that's a precursor to what the Super Bowl is going to look like, I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Well, it's good these days to feel good about something, because this news out of Ferguson, boy, it's not very good.
You know, well, it's been a rough week and a half there in Ferguson for members of the community, for people who really wanted to peacefully protest, who really wanted to have their voices heard, and it was really just drowned out by so many hateful people who many of them who came in from outside, many of them who live in the community, who saw an opportunity and exploited it. And you know, once we go away, Kevin, the cameras go away, the microphones go away, they're waking up, and what's left? And you look down West Florissant Avenue, and you just see a stretch, a mile and a half stretch of buildings that are in ruin and destroyed and that need to be rebuilt, and so many lives and jobs that are gone. It's really tragic.
It is indeed. Of course, the president having his Ferguson Commission. You have other folks there. Darren Wilson now has resigned from the force. Is that going to help the situation out? You were there, Jeff. Your thoughts and your experience there.
Well, I don't know if Darren Wilson resigning from the force is going to help or hurt, or I don't really have an opinion on that. I think that he had no choice. Just as a person, as a man who values his own safety, I wouldn't be surprised if he moved away at this point. I know that, you know, there are many members of the community that think that that's probably a good idea, that he stepped down. There are others who wanted him arrested, and that's not going to happen. But it was, you know, it's been an emotionally draining week. Even as a reporter, our entire team, who I think is the best in the business doing what we do and telling that story, just seeing just that raw emotion that spilled over onto the streets. And that just kept coming and coming. It was a lot, and it's a lot to handle. But you know, at the end of the day, we get to go home, and we try to do these stories justice by telling them and the way that we see them. And you can only hope that something is done, that something is made of this, that some good comes out of this. And, you know, I know the governor has created some sort of panel, some sort of commission. I'm not sure how effective that's going to be, but it's members of the community, it's clergy, and it's law enforcement officials and others who've come together to create this panel to discuss where you go from here. It's going to be a long journey. Others pushing for a law that would make it mandatory for every single officer on the street around this country to have body cameras. And I think that that's a good idea. I know that some civil rights activists have pushed that to the president in a meeting yesterday. They discussed that. It's going to be expensive, but I think that, had Darren Wilson been wearing a body camera, we wouldn't be talking about this today.
Well, what scares me, though, and you brought this up, is the outside folks that come in that use what happened in Ferguson for their own political purposes to incite folks, and then they leave, and the people there, as you've covered, have been left with the aftermath.
And then they leave, and a day later they're seen in Manhattan sipping martinis. I don't know how that's going to change. I don't know if people will stand up and say, look, Al Sharpton, nobody takes
Jeff Manasseh with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, Fox News Radio. I guess we'll just have to see how this plays out as this drama continues to unfold. And, you know, it's not, just not at Ferguson, as we've talked about before, Jeff. You've had, what was it, over 30 cities where you've had similar protests.
Well, I can just tell you that things are quiet in Ferguson. They've been quiet the last couple of days. Last night, very few people showed up. The National Guard is still in place if they need to be. But police are going back to their normal schedules. They were on a 12-hour shift schedules starting last Sunday, and so now they're resuming some sort of normalcy. We'll see if things die down a little bit. But it's, you know, there's a lot of raw emotion that we're seeing, and not just Ferguson, but around the country. And there's some things that need to be dealt with in terms of, you know, issues that people have with the police, in terms of, you know, taking your own responsibility on your life and bettering your life and stop blaming others. We saw a lot of blaming going around throughout Ferguson, and it was used as a catalyst by some of these agitators who took this narrative and ran with it and used it for their own agenda. We need to be honest about what's happening.
Jeff Manasseh, we appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, man.
All right, Jeff Manasseh with us, Fox News Radio. Kevin Miller in the morning. We are covering the Ferguson situation. Remember, we had Eric Holder saying that he's going to continue in his investigation, that he doesn't have a bias, really. And by the way, going back to our statistics, because everybody is talking about no justice, no peace, there's a war on black Americans, African-American Americans. In 2013, blacks committed 5,375 murders. In 2013, whites committed 4,396 murders. Whites are 63% of the population. Blacks are 13%. Police killing of blacks down 70% in the last 50 years. In 2012, 123 blacks were killed by police with a gun. In 2012, 326 whites were killed by police with a gun. From the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice. Now, that is also from the O'Reilly Factor. And even talking about this is divisive. Look, I want everybody to get along, but there are some people, and I've seen this and you've experienced this, regardless of your skin color, that will not like you, that will continue to push bigotry and hate. And that's what we should be speaking out about, not that you won round one, right? Exactly, Reverend Sharpton. We'll get back to him in a minute. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I mean, we have the media that has their own purpose. This from a panelist on MSNBC who said, really, the core issue is not Michael Brown or Trayvon Martin. It's that America is a racist nation. That's right. If America is so bad as these perpetrators would like to talk about, then why are people on television talking about how bad America is? Why do we have a black president? Let's take a listen.
To the a death of a Trayvon Martin or Michael Brown or Renisha McBride or Rekia Boyd, on and on and on and on. What we haven't dealt, what we refuse to deal with is the idea, the fact that the foundation of this country is racism and white.
The foundation of this country is racism and white supremacy.
And white supremacy, and we are, all of our institutions uphold that.
Depressing, and yet it's really actually a hopeful sign that the two of you are out there among so many other people trying to keep this going and keep people's spirits going in this situation.
Boy, what a Debbie Downer here, that the entire country was founded on racism and white supremacy. And again,
we haven't dealt.
We in Idaho are very blessed to live in the best place in America where chances are racism doesn't happen. Yet here you have this guy not being challenged. Okay, if a racism's so bad, he's an African-American. He should he be allowed to express himself? What? Because America is, even if you disagree with America, even if you rip America, as this gentleman is, he's entitled to his opinion. I disagree with it. That America was founded on white supremacy and all this. It's tearing us apart. And the media is rejoicing in it.
What we refuse to deal with is the idea, the fact that our the foundation of this country is racism and white supremacy, and we are all of our institutions uphold that.
Depressing.
Right, our institutions, not whatever he said. Remember, back to the statement, courtesy of the FBI in 2013, blacks committed 5,375 murders. In 2013, whites committed 4,396 murders. Whites are 63% of the population. Blacks are 13. Police killings of blacks down 70% in the last 50 years. In 2012, 123 blacks were killed by police with a gun. In 2012, 326 whites were killed by police with a gun. We go to Ron Paul Jim with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. You know, it looks to me like what this issue is trying to do, what they're trying to do with it, is to create a country that is divided between race, between religion, between sex, between all these different, you know, categories of which they can pit one group against another when all of us should be united against the government. And the police are a branch of the government. The federal government claims they're going to scrutinize the police, but in fact they're militarizing the police at the federal level.
And you notice the president, Ron Paul Jim, did not do away with the militarization of the cops.
That's what I was saying. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth, and what it looks like they'll do is they'll try and federalize the police force in having some sort of oversight at the federal level, which then holds, you know, no one at the local level accountable. And they'll start taking orders from the federal government. What perfect case in point is that the cops are constantly pitted against the public as if we are the adversaries. There was a shooting where a officer was going to present a warrant for someone with a probation violation, and went to the person's house. The son answered the door, and the lady cop, when the son unlocked the door, thought it was a sound of a gun loading, and shot the kid in the chest, killed him instantly, shot him right in the chest because she claimed that he had a gun when he had an Xbox controller in his hand. And there was another shooting where an aunt was sitting on a couch with her 5-year-old granddaughter asleep on her lap, and they had news cameras and everything in tow with this no-knock drug raid where they busted down the door and the cop shot the 5-year-old and killed her. None of these things, these are kinds of things that you would think everyone could rally behind and protest against. But instead, they're trying to turn it into a black versus white.
Right, and that's what we're seeing. Ron Paul Jim, thank you for the call. More of your phone calls next, 580-5436, 580-KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Look, folks, this is what we're up against. Each and every day, you have people deciding to tear down America. And one day, we'll get the Sharpton clip.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
So real black people, they're not out there looting. I just watched a great story on CNN where a bunch of folks, really amazing folks, wouldn't let them burn down an establishment.
Yeah.
It was a great story. You know, I was in Philly this summer when I saw...
There you have it, Charles Barkley talking about the folks in Ferguson. Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's go to Aaron in Nampa with Kevin Miller. Hello, Aaron.
Hi, hello, morning. Yeah, I do kind of agree with Ron Paul Jim. I think this isn't a black-white issue. This is a natural rights issue. I mean, I don't think that people should be looting stores and carrying on in that manner. But I also think the police need to respect people as well. I read an article last week in the Wall Street Journal that, and Bowling Green did a study, and over a seven-year period, there were over 40 instances of police being killed in the line of duty, and then over 2,700 cases of them using lethal force against somebody. And, you know, with the police getting mine vehicles, grenade launchers, and bayonets, it is cause for concern. Maybe a middle ground is just to spell out when lethal force should be used.
Do you believe that lethal force was necessary in this case?
I don't know. I don't know all the facts. There's so many conflicting stories. Whatever happened to the warning shot?
I think it's tough when the guy's beating the heck out of you. I think he was shot a couple times in the arms and legs and kept coming.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. I'm not privy to the evidence, and I think that's a legitimate case. But, I mean, there has to be a balance between protecting the people and shooting an unarmed person.
Aaron, good call. Thank you. We go to Jim and Star with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.
Yeah, Kevin, what about the warning shot? Is that guy serious? I mean, when did we start giving warning shots?
I kind of liked it when the Lone Ranger would shoot the gun out of somebody's hand.
Yeah, those were the days when they just had a fixed iron sights and great aim. Kevin, look, it's a cultural thing we're dealing with, and before anybody calls another white person a racist, remember the Civil War, okay? Remember that. Remember why it was fought. Remember what we did. And you know what? It's totally a cultural thing, and you have to look at why it's done that way. Half of it's the culture. Half of it is the government's involvement and everything they've done to screw it up. And let me make a point. Look at what we've done with the American Native Indian. What did we do? Instead of saying, hey, you know what? We fought like savages with one another for years, and here's where we've ended up. We feel terrible for you, and we're going to actually send you money. We're going to house you. We're going to let you open casinos and not pay tax on any of the dollars you make. And look at their culture, Kevin. A bunch of big drunks, addicts.
Well, you go back to it, but it's not the culture. Look at what Charles Barkley said. He goes, those aren't real black people, and I agree with Charles Barkley.
I do, too. And you know what? I won't even go there with the cliche. I have black friends. You know, the blacks I know in my life, they're disgusted by this stuff. They're sickened by it. I remember years ago working at a radio station in L.A., and the program director there was a black man. And you know what? He was sickened by what happened during the riots in 92, and he said, I can't believe the thinking that goes into these people's minds. And it really is. If you think about it from a psychology perspective, whenever you're the most frustrated, when you're the most down, whenever you feel like nothing's going to go your way, that's when you're probably the most volatile. Case in point, you've got a bunch of young men and women, that, especially the men, that aren't out doing anything productive. They're not making anything happen. They're not contributing to society. They don't know who their dads are, and they're frustrated. And instead of trying to make their lives better, they take that frustration and do things that are just obviously, things we can't even relate to. And it really needs to be where guys like Barkley stand up and take control and say, hey, look, follow this lead. Stop following the Sharptons and the Jacksons of the world. It's not a racist thing.
I agree with you, but when you have people saying that America was founded on white supremacy and all this, it's horrible. Jim, I got to run, but thank you.
Hey, great show, man. See ya.
All right, let's go to Garrett in San Hollow with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, Garrett.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. I want to go back to what Ron Paul Jen said, and I want to disagree. I think that with the premise of his entire call was that we need to oppose the federal government, and so along with that, what we need to do is oppose the police. And so these statistics are being thrown. I got to remember that we want to be a nation of laws, and we want men to enforce those laws, and these men that we have to enforce these laws are going to deal primarily with people who break them. And so all of these statistics that are thrown around, and nobody's defending those stories that he was saying of people being shot on accident or mistakenly. So nobody's defending that. He brought those points up to say that, and I'm sure this is not what he said, but the point that was coming across is that the police are bad. I mean, that's the point that I got from that call, is that he opposes the police because he opposes the government, and they go hand in hand. When that's not the case, especially not here in Idaho, I think that we fall into that trap of throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and we're not defending the actions of these police in large cities as well. But when we talk like this, he was sitting there saying that, you know, the police are always pitted against the citizen. Well, he's drawing the line in the same place as anybody else has drawn the line. That's versus them. And I think that we, as private citizens, need to be very careful about that, that we do need to oppose things if we think that they are morally wrong. But we also have to remember that we want to be a nation of laws, and we want men to go enforce those laws who will do things that we may not be willing to do ourselves.
And that's the one thing that we seem to forget with our criticism of the police. Garrett, thank you for the call.
Yes.
I appreciate it. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Dave Burnett with us, the Manly Man segment, as we start your day with food, fun, frivolity, entertainment.
Food?
Well, food for your brain.
Oh. I thought maybe there's food.
We tried.
Okay.
Theater of the mind. Theater of the mind.
Hmm.
Anyway, phone number's here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And before we get going, lots of great deals, Dave. As you know, you've diligently put this together, our online auction. And
I didn't put it together.
Well, I was just trying to.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Just, you know.
No, there's some hardworking people here at the radio station work much harder than you and I that put this all together online.
I know, and I'm looking at it right now. Lots of great, great deals. So let me hit you with this. As we take a look at the online auction from our friends to seize the deal, if you will, are you more inclined to get something online or in the stores?
You know, it's funny. I've never really – it makes me nervous to do things online, but so far – we've done, my wife and I, when I say we've done two online gifts and nothing in the stores yet.
Hmm.
So far, 100% online.
Yeah, and the cool thing about this is that you can bid on items, and you have the highest bid. I mean, here you've got a pair of tickets to every concert at the Boise Philharmonic. Right now, it's a $400 value. The top bid is 40 bones.
Nice. That's a great deal.
It is, and, it, you know, I'm with you. I was very reluctant to ever purchase anything online, but it is kind of neat to get something at your house that's not a bill.
Well, then eventually
you have to pay for it, but...
Well, the big old UPS truck shows up, and it's like, oh, look, it's exciting getting something. So, yeah, it's kind of weird.
Exactly.
It's kind of a weird deal. But, yeah, I was very reluctant to do it, but so far, and we're going to do more online.
Well,
it's just easier.
Yeah, so check out 580kido.com. Mm-hmm. And you can see lots of wonderful items from Seize the Deal. Just click on that on the trending auction items, and you'll see lots of great things here.
Yeah, now what happens is when you bid on an item, like, say, the symphony tickets, and you bid $45, if somebody outbids you, you'll get a text or an email that'll say, somebody outbid you. You want to bid again? So that way you're notified. Otherwise, you know that you're in, like, Flynn. They got everything from doggy daycare services to like, a year's supply of massages. If you're a regular on massages, I'll tell you what a great deal that is.
I don't know if I'd want anybody touching me.
Somebody does. You know, I know people that do a massage like every 2-3 weeks.
What about you? Would you let somebody touch you?
Oh, yeah, I've had massages. But I like it rough. I like it. I mean, it's like...
Wait a minute. Just say that again.
I like my massages to be very firm, very deep tissue massages. I mean, it's like crawl up on a table, put your elbows in my back. That's the kind of massage I like. I like to hurt.
Folks, this you won't hear this content on the radio anywhere.
No, because here's the only place that anyone would dare employ the two of us. Some of them haven't figured it out yet.
Well, don't give them any ideas, okay. You know? Don't give them any ideas. So we have a few things going on. We have Ebola possibly in Massachusetts. We also have this, story that Maggie was talking about, the toy gun causing a scare in the Middleton schools. What's your take on the whole kids and guns and toy guns thing?
Kids have played with guns since guns have been around, and if they didn't have a gun, they'd make a gun out of a stick, and when they don't have that, they make it out of their hands. It just goes, you know, I know people that, oh, we're not going to let little Billy play with guns. And the next thing you know, Billy's running around the yard with his finger going, bam, bam, you're dead.
Right.
It just goes with the territory. Now, your kid is taking his toy gun to school, which, by the way, if you've seen pictures of it, it's got a little red tip on the barrel of it, but otherwise it looks pretty good.
Right.
And you can see why teachers will go, whoa, not good. But, you know, kids play with guns. They have and they will, and they shoot each other with sticks.
Well, but, you remember what happened in Cleveland with the young man who was killed by the police?
Yeah, had an airsoft rifle and gun, which they look really real. The airsofts do. Bought two or three of those for kids and grandkids.
Yeah. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah.
Here's something that's interesting. And again, it's a regional story, but, you know, we talk sports here occasionally. The University of Alabama getting rid of their football program. Everybody's all up in arms about that.
University of Alabama?
Birmingham.
Oh, I was going to say, see, if Saban's available, maybe we can make him an assistant coach.
Yeah.
colleges have to make decisions, and if something's bleeding you dry, you got to get rid of it for the sake of others. I mean, you know, Gonzaga, they don't have a football program. I have a heck of a basketball program.
Yeah, but what isn't being reported is they actually had finally turned that program around, and there had always been friction between Alabama Tuscaloosa, the University of Alabama, and the University of Alabama Birmingham, and you have these folks kind of not break away. It's still under the Alabama system, but Bama didn't like having that program just 40 miles to the east.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so there was always, and Bama would never play them. Auburn would, other schools would, but Bama never acknowledged it. So you have the same essential board of trustees upset with that football decision to begin with.
Well, I mean, you've had a kind of like situation in Idaho where the State Board of Education, you know, where the Vandals wanted to play Boise State, very upset when Boise State went from the Big Sky to the Big West. It was the only reason Boise State could go is if Idaho could go with them. And so they made a deal, and Idaho went with them. And it's the same thing as, you know, as they've traveled up and down. And, you know, you have the people upset that Idaho doesn't play Boise State anymore. And the programs have gone two separate ways at this point.
Two separate directions.
Yeah. I mean, they really have. They've gone two separate ways. And some people upset. Now, it's not under the same, you know, it's not, one is not part of the other. But, you know, they're both under the State Board of Education. So you have, you know, similar controversy in the South where football is so huge and where Alabama is such a dominant money-sucking program, because you have to assume that that program drains the money out of that area.
What's that, the football team?
Yeah.
Well, they make money.
They make money, but but when it comes to donors, when it comes to, you know, fundraisers, when it comes to different things, it sucks the money right out of it. Because it's not cheap to run that operation.
Right.
So, you know, the other schools, it's got to be tough. Got to be tough.
Unless you're Auburn.
Yeah, well, then you have a whole different base, though.
Right. But, again, it was more of a political move. They've been trying to do that for years. A buddy of mine gave me a call over the weekend and said, man, I wish you were here covering that story. Because it goes beyond just politics. And you have, you know, people in you know, various parts of the state. You know, UAB is a medical school. I think they have a medical school there and a research facility. So there's that rivalry between the in-states, but you're never going to beat, you know, Alabama when you're the Alabama Board of Trustees. And they've been trying to get rid of that program. In fact, they had them playing at Old Legion Field, and it was one of the iconic stadiums in college football. I mean, held at the time 80, 85,000.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have like 10 or 15, it just looked horrible.
I'm surprised Alabama did not play them, though.
They never wanted to acknowledge them. They never wanted to give them the opportunity because they felt that it was an upstart, it was a threat, and you're either with them or against them.
I mean, that would have been another weak game for them to play in the middle of the season, like Western Carolina and other Sisters of the Poor they could play and beat. We've got to rest and play UAB before we play Auburn.
Well, it would have given them some money as well, and I don't think Alabama plays Troy either.
Yeah,
in the state.
They might.
Well, you know, Troy at one time won the Sun Belt a few years. But, you know, this is where it's fascinating because in North Carolina, you have a law where the state schools have to play each other. So North Carolina has to play East Carolina every 2 or 3 years. Even Duke has to, even though they're a private school, they jump into this. They'll play East Carolina, which has helped that program.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder, remember when Boise State decided to discontinue the Idaho series? Well, they said, you can come down here every year.
Yeah, we're not going up there.
And the Vandals said, how dare you? We're a big-time program.
Mm-hmm.
There were calls for the state legislature to jump in, but nobody really took the bait.
No, I mean, no. But see, it's that same ploy that they used before when, like I said, when they went from the Big Sky to the Big West and went the Big West to the whatever it was that went after that, to the WAC, I guess it was, that they kept, you know, dragging them along. And then finally, Boise State made the break and moved on, and the two never shall cross again. I don't think you'll see that series revived. Now, basketball, and they just played last week, but even in basketball, the two programs kind of head in different directions.
Well, we shall see. I go back to football, though. Why didn't the Vandals take the date, take the money, and
pride.
Put their exposure here in the Treasure Valley?
It was pride.
You know. Okay, was that a mistake? I think it was.
Yeah, I do. You know, and for Boise State, to be honest with you, you know, that first, well, probably not the first game because these would play in some sort of a Chick-fil-A thing, but, you know, that second game of the season to have the Vandals come in and, you know, it's a you know, an easier game on your schedule to get you guys worked into the routine. You'd fill the stadium. You know, I think it would have been good. But I think politics and pride just had Idaho saying no. You know, we're going to share home and home, or we're not doing it.
Well, you have to wonder just how strong the Vandal program will be based on their attendance at the Kibbe Dome.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, that was one game that they were hoping, you know, for Boise State to go up there because then they would fill it.
But if you're Boise State, with all due respect, mm-hmm. I don't really think that that's going to enhance your program. And having the game here, or if there were, you know, a big city in the middle, let's say Twin Falls had a 60 or 40,000 seat stadium, you could do that like the Red River Shootout. However, some neutral city, but to go play in the Kibbe Dome, and again, full disclosure, I haven't been to the Kibbe Dome, but it doesn't seem, what does it hold, 18,000 or something like that?
Yeah, it's not very many.
Right. If you're going to Ole Miss, or you're going to Washington, or if you're going, you know, if you're going to, you know, the Pac-12 schools or whatever, SEC schools, I think you have to take that step up. And I, you know, how bad do you want it if you're a Vandal? And look, a lot of Vandals in the Treasure Valley, very prideful program, but they have to acknowledge that they've got an issue with that football program.
Yeah, I mean, they had one victory this year.
And
they were a better program, but still just one victory.
Well, they had that tie with Florida.
Yeah, one play. They didn't lose.
Here's the thing, though. Do you go back to the Big Sky?
Well, see, I think the deal is, and I don't know, I'm not inside on the program, but I think the deal is that they were holding out expecting yet another big juggle in college football, hoping that they could catch on somewhere to stay Division I. But I think the truth is, I mean, I think those programs that are holding out hoping when that big shift comes are the Boise States of the world, you know, that they would be able to make that, you know, whether it's going to a Big Ten or to the Pac-16 or whatever they are now, to shift out. I think there probably is one more big shift in college football coming.
Well, I think Boise State's best hope would be for somehow the Pac or the Big Ten, or not the Big Ten, the Big 12 that has 10, not the Big 10 that has 12.
Whichever one that is.
Right. To get hosed during the selection process and somebody advocating for a Big 12 championship game. Because quite frankly, I don't think it's fair that you have the Pac-12, the Big 10, the SEC, the Conference USA, Mountain West. Everybody has a championship game but the Big 12.
Yeah. Who has 10?
Right.
Exactly. And they can't do it unless they have 12.
Right. And who are you going to pick? Well, you've got BYU out there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want another Texas school in Houston or SMU? Or do you pick the bell of the ball, which will be going to the Fiesta Bowl? Now, quickly, I know we have to go, but have we devalued the Fiesta Bowl?
Have we devalued
with
it?
With this new system, and let me just say this real quickly, because I know I should have said this at 5:35. However, there was some excitement if you were going to get up to number 12, or you were going to get to number 8, or who had the highest ranking. And this year, let's say they're number 20, and they get the Fiesta Bowl. Have we devalued that?
Maybe a little bit, just because of the playoff system. Maybe a little bit.
I mean, wasn't there a lot of excitement? Again, it was the old system where you had TCU and Boise State. If they could get to that 12th ranking, they would get in.
Yeah.
And now, well,
I'll be honest with you. For a lot of Boise State fans, I think it's kind of a, what? We got a chance to go to the Fiesta Bowl after all this? Because everything, all the cards just fell right. They're playing hot. The other teams fell off.
And they would play Pac-12 too?
I am thinking there's a chance that they will play the loser of Wisconsin-Ohio State. That
really?
Is a very real possibility, which would be awesome.
Or Big 12?
It'll be that or Pac. It'll be like Arizona. If Arizona makes it. Arizona's going to have to beat Oregon. They may not make it.
Well, get your predictions tomorrow on that.
Okay, we'll do it. Got to do this. Traffic now. Looking good.
And coming up next, should a Middleton student be suspended for taking a toy gun to school? Elementary school student, by the way. Authorities are concerned about kids bringing toy guns to school. Now, has society changed so much that that's a no-no? Let's talk. Sherry Emmett.